current cleansing, it would be absurd to think that Jesus died for just our conversion, and that's it. All the other sins after that, or failures that we may encounter in Christ, oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't die for those. That would be silly. He sees ahead of us, he sees everything, and he has made a way of escape for us, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Pastor Rick is currently teaching through the book of 1 John. Please stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Today, Pastor Rick begins a new chapter in 1 John, chapter 2, and a new message called Our Walk with Christ.
1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. John seems very comfortable with confusing the readers, knowing that he's going to straighten it out when he gets to it. And that is one of the reasons why this first letter is a challenge. It's not impossible or beyond us to get from it its meanings and its truths and keep it balanced. It just takes a lot of work. And that is not something, or that is, hard work is not something we should be frightened by as believers when we come to the Word of God. But it always comes down to this, and especially for you younger Christians, as you will be entering the universities or the workplace, a combination of both, it comes down to who you're going to listen to. For these ancient people and believers, when John wrote this letter, they were either going to believe John the Apostle, who walked with Jesus Christ, or the other ones who disagreed with Jesus Christ. And it's the same to this very day for all of us, especially for you younger believers. You're either going to believe what Jesus said or somebody else. And of course, if you attend a church, that church better be preaching belief in Jesus Christ and not somebody else. And if they're not doing that, get out of there as quickly as you can. Don't wait for the sermon to end. Jesus is our Lord, our God, our Savior. He's here right now. And one day we will see him face to face. He already sees us face to face. Well, looking at verse 1, my little children, I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. John says, my little children, technion in the Greek, it's a term of endearment. He'll use a different Greek word for little children later on in this chapter. But here he starts off with, my children. It's just a warm moment for this old apostle. He's old now. He's John the aged. He's probably in his 90s or near there. And he says, my little children. He gets this from Christ. In John's Gospel, chapter 13, John wrote Jesus saying, little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. And that stuck with John, and so he uses it, and it's a very personal touch to this letter. He says, I write to you so that you may not sin. Well, he's been telling us, and he will continue to tell us as he goes through this letter, why he wrote to the believers. There are several reasons why. And here he says, so that you don't sin. It is an objective of preaching, to call believers to a sinless life. Well, what is the alternative? Go out and sin, have a good time, violate everything God says? Doesn't matter? Well, that would be crazy. And so, of course, that is not an objective of true preaching. In verse 12, he'll say, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And so, he's saying why he's writing the letter. He's building up the believers. He's fighting against all of these naysayers. And he's doing a great job at it also at the same time. Now, he does not say that we cannot sin. He says that we may not sin. Charles Spurgeon preached these words. He said, one of the great marks of a child of God is that although he sins, he does not love sin. And that is difference. When the Christian sins, we hate it. We don't want any part of this. Even the petty little ones. Even if we're petty with somebody, we know we're wrong. We don't want that. We want to be perfected in Christ. Now, of course, when we do stumble, Satan looks to condemn us, to doom us, to strip us down. He is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us to God. He accuses us to each other. He accuses us to ourselves. Any chance he gets to strip us down, he will do it. And we have to learn to stay a step ahead of this. Conviction, on the other hand, is not doom, but it is discovery. When God convinces us of something, it is so that work can get done. And that's why he points these things out in our lives, our walk with Christ. And that is, incidentally, the title of consideration, Our Walk with Christ. We'll get it from the sixth verse when we come to it, but that's what John is really, where he's going with all of this. He continues in verse 1. He says, and if anyone sins. Now, it is the if of when, not maybe. He's not saying maybe you will sin. When you sin, we have an advocate with the Father. It's not permission to sin, of course. The very reason for writing the letter is that you may not sin. I don't know why. Well, I do. I know why many Christians and pastors have stopped preaching on sin, because for those who are not right with Christ, it's not a topic or a subject that they want to be faced with. But for those of us who know the love of Christ, we know that he has taken care of these things for us. We have our responsibility to continue to battle towards perfection, and we know he has fulfilled his responsibility of dying for us, of rising again, and not abandoning us because we stumble. And so we will, of course, make mistakes, we will sin, and God will forgive the penitent believers. Otherwise, there would be no plan of restoration. So when Paul writes in Romans, which incidentally, the Gnostics, I don't want to refer to them too much because it just takes away from it to keep saying the word Gnostic, but they, again, for those of you who may not recall or know about them, they were a group of people who had infiltrated the church while the apostles were still alive, and they brought in all sorts of false teachings. And the main part of it was, your sin really doesn't matter. Long as you understand that Jesus, you know, is the Savior, you can sin all you want to sin. Tell that to a victim of your sin, right? But anyway, this is one of the things they were doing and what John is dealing with in this letter. In fact, it looks like, as we consider what they believe, that they also took Romans chapter 7, 6, 7, and 8 and abused them. And in time, here this apostle comes along to set it right. Not that they weren't already addressing these things in their preachings, we just have it in written form. Well, Paul says this, John saying here, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Paul said, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the believer. There's no condemnation for us. We love the Lord. We've received him as Lord. And with that, we receive salvation and recurrent grace, recurrent cleansing, recurrent forgiveness. Romans 5:20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more. It just continuously outdoes the sin. God's grace for his people constantly outworks sin. Now, if you're struggling with sin, you may not feel like that is true. But by faith, we rest our hope on these very words. Paul wrote to the Galatians, he says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So Paul says, you have a brother messing up, be gentle with them as much as possible. Be gentle with them. Remember who you are. Remember Christ is this way with you. This should make us all stronger, not critics, not those who give everybody grief when we show up. You don't want the nickname incoming. Incoming! Recurrent cleansing. It would be absurd to think that Jesus died for just our conversion, and that's it. All the other sins after that, or failures that we may encounter in Christ, oh, well, I'm sorry, I didn't die for those. That would be silly. He sees ahead of us. He sees everything, and he has made a way of escape for us, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Again, the Gnostics, they carried the grace and kindness of God too far. For example, Romans 7, Paul says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And what Paul is saying is there's this war. My carnal nature, that sinful part of me that does not go away when I come to Christ in this life, it will go away when we get to the next life. And Paul is saying we struggle with these things. Well, the Gnostics came along and says, well, it doesn't matter then. I don't care that I sin, as long as I feel good about life, because all of that is mystically, somehow, magically unimportant. They were wrong. The apostles are right. And that goes back to my initial statement, where you're either going to believe the word of God from his apostles and prophets, or you're going to believe the world, or those who twist the word of God, where he says we have an advocate with the Father. We would not need an advocate if we were innocent, but we're not. Again, Romans, this time, chapter 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Thank you, God. Thank you that I have the grace, the blood of Jesus Christ, that cleanses me from all sin. As John points out in chapter 1 and in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that recurrent cleansing. And then again, of course, here in verse 1, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. This should make us bold on the battlefield against ourselves and the sin we face. And when we preach to others, you need to get this right. If you come to somebody who's not right with Christ, you need to fix this. You're a sinner. You're not saved by grace. The wrath of God is on you. You can fix this. And so Jeremiah, the prophet, looking at the ruined city of Jerusalem that he preached so hard to save, he suffered so much in the interest of others who were a bunch of knuckleheads. And he writes his heart out in the lamentation, and of course these great words, we all know them. He says about God's mercies, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." I can trust him. When he says, "I am your Savior," I can trust that. I don't have to say, "Well, are you really?" But I keep messing up. Jesus says, "I didn't die for you to mess it up like that. You come to me, I'll take care of it." The Greek word here for advocate, incidentally, is parakletos, the one who comes beside us, the helper, the hero of John's Gospel, chapter 14 through 16, the paraclete. It is John's word. Paul uses it too. But John, it's a favored word of his. We have a divine helper. We have human helpers. We even have spiritual helpers, where God dispatches his angels to help and guard us and watch over us. But all of that is under the authority of God himself and his Holy Spirit. The Father and the Son, they both comfort us. We're told this repeatedly in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. There's that Greek word. He continues, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You see the repetitive, I'm comforted, comforted. It's the same Greek word. Paul is driving this home. By the time Paul wrote this letter, he knew the teaching of the Holy Spirit as the great comforter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort in your hearts and establish you in every good work. And so we see God is committed to comforting us. Now, of course, the flesh or the devil will say, yeah, but you're not worthy. Well, we settled that at Calvary. We got that straight a long time ago. We don't need to dig that back up. John 14, of course, the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That must have been a great comfort for those men that were entrusted with preaching the gospel. When he says to them, I will send the Holy Spirit. He will stir up your minds. He will draw from what's in there. He will use you. Which one of them would have said, well, he should because I'm worthy? Not a one. In fact, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me this night, they all said, is it me? I don't want to be that guy. If it's me, I'm jumping out the window right now. I no longer come under God's judgment because of God's Son. I come under his grace. This does not mean that we're careless about our behavior, but we are careful. We understand realities surround us that are bigger than us, and we have to live with them. But there are truths that we are armed with as we live with these disappointing things, to say the least. All believers should be more careful of their conduct than ever before because of Christ. When we come to Christ, we sin less and less and less. That is the goal. It is going to take a lot to keep that goal in front of us because of all the forces working to take it away. You can be in a relationship, marriage, any relationship with yourself, just the way you live. You think you have it together, and then suddenly there are challenges that you never saw coming. Well, the same tactics are available for us to face those things. They will come to pass, but may we make sure that they do with us following close to the Lord. The sin will not separate the believer from salvation. I'll say that again. Sin will not separate the believer from salvation. No condemnation. We have an advocate with the Father. But if unchecked, it will separate you from much good and joy and rest and effectiveness and service to the King. It will wreak havoc on you if we don't deal with this all the time. It is not going to be, I dealt with sin yesterday, finally it's done. Unless you are on your way to heaven. It's going to be constant. And so again, we are not sinless, but we do work to sin less. He says, Jesus Christ the righteous. When Jesus referred to his Father, he would say, righteous Father, our Father, my Father, holy Father. It's very beautiful to consider how he addressed the Father. And here John is saying Jesus Christ, the righteous. No mere man was Christ, because no mere man was good enough to die for me. You cannot take a sinful person and use that sinful person to take away the sins of other sinful people. We need one above us all, and of course it is the Christ, and we celebrate the coming of Christ during the Christmas season, and we're announcing that God sent his Son. The dates and all have become irrelevant. How many people will be celebrating Christmas and don't have a clue who Jesus is? How many in that number think they know? But their knowledge does not match what the Scripture says. They're false converts. They think they're saved and they're not. It's what Jesus are you following? Well, there are many false Jesus out there. Paul said, if I or an angel or anybody comes along, preach any other Jesus to you, let them be cursed. It's the one that matches the prophets and the apostles found in the book we call the Bible. And we have no auxiliary Jesus Christ. There's no, oh, we have another one. He does not. The book, the canon is closed. You either line up with it or you're lined up against it. And so the unclean soul cannot cleanse an unclean soul. It took this righteous Jesus, Isaiah 53, and every Christian should be familiar with Isaiah 53. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. This is the prophet saying, this coming one, he is the Messiah, the servant of God, the servant. And he will come and he will deal with our sins. He shall see the labor of his soul, he says, and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It took the righteous Jesus Christ to do this. Moses could not do it. David, Daniel, Joseph, none of the great ones, no one could have done this but him. His sinless life, his sacrificial death, his miraculous resurrection. That's Christianity. And all the other miracles next to those in comparison are minor. All the miracles of Christ and next to who he is are minor. You know, when he did those miracles, he was announcing who he was. He knew that in the ages to come, there would be people looking for the same intensity of miracles that they're not happening. Not like they were when he was here. Because they were credentials. He was flashing his authority. He was saying, how dare you not believe me? Look what I just did. Listen to what I just said. Consider who I am. Line up the prophecies with what I'm doing. That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees had no excuse to reject him. They just wanted what they wanted. They wanted freedom from Rome so that they could have prosperity, carnal prosperity. And they were not willing to submit to him. Well, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, I deliver to you, first of all, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You got to love it. Here was a man that was a Pharisee, rejected Christ, hated Christians, saw the light, came to Christ, and spent his life preaching and exalting Jesus Christ and all the truths that he could bring together to anyone who would listen. And he, Paul, is not the last one to do it. It's been happening to this day. Verse 2, look at that. There's a second verse to this chapter, right? And he himself is our propitiation for our sins, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That propitiation, we only hear it when we come to Christ. It's not a word you use, you know. When's the last time you've posted that on Facebook? Maybe we should do it more. It means he is the satisfaction. He satisfied the wrath of God. He cooled it. He put it out through his blood, his sacrificial death for the sins of humanity. And he redeemed all humanity, just all humanity is not saved. They don't come and get it. Jesus satisfied the demand for judgment brought on us by our own sins. John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. He signed off. He said, I'm going to show you. Not in this tone that I'm using, but looking back at it, the tone is very appropriate. Jesus said, it's done. I've died for them. And to prove it, I'm going to leave. Again, I say maybe often I point to this. No one can turn their life off like this. You cannot just say, okay, I'm out of here and gone. I mean, you have to do something to do that. And he just, it's divine. No one killed him.
He could not be killed.
Thanks for tuning in to Cross Reference Radio. Cross Reference is a ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville, in Virginia. If you'd like to learn more about this ministry, we invite you to visit our website, crossreferenceradio.com. You'll find a number of teachings from Pastor Rick available there. We also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. When you subscribe, you'll be notified of new editions of Cross Reference Radio. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast app store. You can also follow the links at crossreferenceradio.com. We're glad we were able to spend time with you today. Tune in next time to continue learning from the book of 1 John with Pastor Rick, right here on Cross Reference Radio.